I'm going to do my best to get our services back to normal, regular service times. Wednesday night will not change them. I'll do Wednesday nights. I got to surprise my boss with the information that I'm taking Wednesdays off, and he'll live with it or he won't. But that's what we're going to do there. I intend to have a membership meeting, a church meeting in a week or so, whenever I can get everybody available. And we'll just talk about our future a little bit, which from my point of view is not going to change much. I'm seeing some minor changes, but for right now, status quo will be what it is, and we're going to keep on keeping on. I really wasn't sure how you girls were feeling, and I kind of thought maybe got Thanksgiving this week, maybe just take the week and keep your recovery, and we'll start school again a week from Monday, and just jump back into it and do what we got to do. At this point, it is my intention to come out every morning and be here for opening and take care of things that way. Nobody is more ignorant about the administrative role that my dad held than me. He knows everything about everything down there, and I know absolutely nothing about down there. I know somewhere on those computers are kids' records, and those things are important because at some point kids are going to want to graduate. So we've got to be able to locate those and work with them how they need to be worked with. You know, there's a lot. I guess I don't need to take the time right now to discuss everything. I just want you to know my heart, that it's my intention. We're not stopping anything. We're going. We're moving. God willing, we're going to grow and see where that happens. But, well, that's that for now. So, okay. To Genesis chapter 6. Verse 8, let's hear the word of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing again as we look into your word this morning. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate the scripture, to open our hearts and minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis is a book of beginnings. Genesis shows us plainly the origin of man. We start with Adam, who was created in perfection. He lived a life of perfection in a place of perfection. Adam received a perfect wife. You don't get a more perfect life than what Adam enjoyed. That's why so often when I sit and think about that it's hard to understand how things could go so terribly wrong. At least at that point, Adam had a relationship with God. He knew who God was and what it was about to serve him. But as the population of men grew, it really wouldn't be that long before memory of perfection would be gone. In verse 6 of this chapter, it tells us the degree of depravity that men had fallen into. It said, every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. There's a lot said in that verse. The thoughts, the intents of the hearts of men were only evil continually. There was no break. There was no moment of holiness. There was no moment of righteousness. There was no moment of searching to worship Almighty God. They certainly had no reverence for Him. They had plenty of other things to occupy their minds. They had their business endeavors. They had their athletic events. They had entertainment of all varieties. They were living their lives according to how it pleased themselves. As far as any fear of God, there was none. And they were going about their business. But Almighty God is holy. He is sovereign. And He does not tolerate sin. The behavior of man had got to the point where it was repulsive to Him. And judgment against the impudence of these people would come. Now, as always, God had a remnant. Sometimes the remnant of God is a little bigger than we think. In this case, it was very small. In a world of unbelievers, there was one man who found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Why did Noah find grace? The answer is in the word grace. Because God looked at Noah, saw that to a degree his life was a righteous life. But grace is not earned. Grace is given. In a world of rebels, this was a blessing to a man named Noah. Now, the calling of God in our lives may not always be understood by those who surround us. The calling that we pursue may not seem right to some people, especially if what we're called to do seems a little abnormal. It's not what we do. What do people do? What are the callings in life? They go to factories. They go to businesses. They go to offices. They drive trucks. They do different occupations. And oddly enough, all of those things seem normal to people. It all seems right with people. When we have the calling of God in our lives, it's foreign, not easily relatable. This was Noah's situation. Noah got a calling. He was an older man. And he received a calling that had many facets to it. The first facet of Noah's calling was to build an ark. He had to build an extremely large boat. Who does that? I mean, besides Ken Ham. In a desert, who does that? Who builds a boat? I've certainly seen strange things over the years. One of our family friends lived in a dead end, at the end of a dead end street, in a house on that dead end, where he set up a roadside stand to sell rocks. And he sold a few. Who else does that? It's a dead end street. It's a little odd. Sometimes I think it's the odd people that make the world go round. But Noah, the first facet of the calling that he had was to build this boat. And God himself gave the blueprint. Secondly, he was required to gather all kinds of animals. Now God, obviously at some point, would bring those animals to him. But Noah had to gather them. He had to get 7 of every clean animal and 2 of every other kind. He would get 7 of each kind of bird. And then, that wasn't really the hard part. He had to provide food for all of those animals. I don't know. How much experience did Noah have with feeding elephants? How did he know what to feed them? How did Noah know what to feed an aardvark? I mean, aardvarks are not normally family pets. And he had to feed them. The task was not going to be accomplished overnight. Sometimes when we discover in our lives the calling of God in our lives, we get zealous and excited, and we're ready to run and ready to go and ready to build and ready to do all these things. God rarely does anything overnight. Building things that are substantial, building things that will last, takes time. And Noah would be building for a good long while. Looking a little foolish maybe, but still staying at the stuff. In fact, he was supported by his family. But he was supported by his family because they were his family, not because that they had any real vision. In fact, I'm sure those boys thought the old man was off his nut just a bit. Nevertheless, it was Noah's calling, and he employed his sons in the labor that was going to be carried out. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have the same thinking that their father had. The third aspect of Noah's call was that he was to be a preacher. In effect, Noah was going to be the voice of God, giving the word of God to people who would not hear God's voice. Yet he had to be about that business. Consider all the years, 120 of them, while this labor was going on. 120 years while the labor was going on. He's giving a message to people who can't hear. Nevertheless, he stayed by the stuff. He was faithful to his calling. Chapter 7 of this book brings a record of everything coming to pass. Again, 120 years of labor, of sweat, 120 years of misunderstanding. But Almighty God was about to fulfill his word. It was 120 years and the animals began to be loaded, brought into their stables, brought into the different dwelling places within that floating barn. And Noah would get his family and they would go in. And God would still grant 7 days more grace. The door was not shut, but the rain had begun. It was a hard rain, a pouring rain. And the flood waters on that hard ground would soon begin to rise. The door was still open during those 7 days. Everybody in the ark was in the ark, but the door remained open. The way of escape was available, but the way of escape was despised. Even while the rain was coming, even while the water was rising, the way of escape was rejected. The heart of man has not changed. Men search for any escape except for the one that's available to them through Jesus Christ. Men don't want to hear the truth of the word. They don't want to hear the reality of the gospel. They still want to do things their own way. In this time for Noah, after those 7 days, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, were sealed safely in the bosom of the ark. Imagine, if you would, being tucked inside and the hand of God closing the door. All the labor over the 120 years was right. The proper amount of pitch was applied. The vessel was watertight. But now they're inside, maybe a little dark. They had a lamp or two. Could they hear what was going on outside? Could they hear the rains? Could they hear the people still maybe yucking it up a little bit? Until the realization that, you know what? It's not going to stop. The waters are rising. Could they hear what was going on outside? Perhaps. Did they, in that hour, recognize God's grace to them? Truth is, maybe not. Very often, well, we are in the heart of the trial. We may not recognize God's grace to us, yet it is still there. While they're tucked inside a big old boat and hearing the things that may be going on outside, are they sitting around giving thanks to God? Maybe is our best answer. We don't know. Noah might have been. But the rest of his family were not faithful as Noah was. Outside, the storm was raging. They were enduring a greater trial than they'd ever known in their lives. And after a couple of days, that ark moved and began to rise. The waters of the deep would break open and continue to flood the ground. The rains would keep coming down. And the ark, that center of safety, would rise. And after 40 days, they would be resting quietly atop the water. After 40 days, there was no longer any disturbance outside. There were not the screams of those who wished to escape the judgment of God. It was quiet. The trials, testings that we endure in life, especially the unexpected ones, can take a toll. Our human natures reject discomfort of any kind. And sometimes, in truth, we get in the heart of these things and we rebel and we declare, we're not having any of it. We're not putting up with this. We're not dealing with it. But those are temporary. And eventually, the child of God must come to rest in the care of Almighty God. Eventually, God in His grace will make that reality known to us. We'll open our hearts, we'll open our minds, will cause us to remember that He cares for us. Noah is sitting on top of the water, and he would rest there for another 150 days. Now again, we all reach a point in our trials when we just want it over. We're tired. Our emotions have run the gamut. We're stressed beyond what we feel we're capable of. Our head will remind us of God's grace. Our head will remind us of God's goodness. Our head will remind us of God's care during this time. But our hearts might be numb. I think there's a real possibility that the family of Noah started to whine to him, started to complain a little bit. I mean, they might not have been born in a barn, but they were certainly living in one with all kinds of animals that were eaten. And when you eat, there's other things that occur. This was not the Holiday Inn, but it was the blessing of God to them. It was the place of safety. I can see Noah possibly leaning back against the wall, closing his eyes a little bit, and praying for answers. In the midst of it all, don't we do that very thing? In the midst of our hardest time, when confusion takes over, when frustration tears us apart, don't we lean back and we ask God for answers and say, God, help us through this time. Help us understand. Bring us through it all. And while Noah is in conversation with God, something happens. The ark starts to move. After sitting quietly, something is changing. Something is different. Outside, he's hearing a wind pick up. There is no sound of additional rain. There is no sound of additional flooding. There's just the noise of a strong, of a steady, of a drying rain or dry wind. God was bringing deliverance. God was coming to make it right. God was coming to rejuvenate the souls of those who were saved. Another 7 months would pass. The winds would continue to blow, and it would be steady. But after those 7 months, the ark would come to rest on Ararat. The guys inside were ready to get out. That's how it is, right? You go to an amusement park and get on a ride and you go nuts for a minute and a half, but then you're ready to get out. You go on a journey. You take a trip to some place where you really wanted to go, and it may be a lengthy ride. And you're excited about getting there. You're excited about doing whatever it is that you're going to do. But at the end of the ride, you're ready to get out. You're ready for the ride to be over. Certainly, these guys were ready. But now was not the time for them to get out. To flee what God is bringing us through, to try to escape that, is premature. And it's hazardous. We have to go in God's path. We have to stay according to His direction. To make our own decisions and go our own ways is always hazardous, always dangerous. At this point, if these guys would have gotten out of the boat, they likely would have been up to their necks in mud. Sure, a lot of water had subsided, but the ground was still wet. It was soaked. It was saturated. You weren't just going to climb out and walk around. So it would be a couple of more months. And Noah in chapter 8 sends out a raven. Raven's going to fly around until it finds a place. The raven never did. He flew and he flew and he flew. And Noah also sent a dove. A dove apparently has a little bit more smarts than a raven. Because the dove is not just going to hang out. If the dove can't find a safe, dry place to sit down, it's not staying there. And it didn't. It flew back. After a week, he'd do the same procedure. He'd send the dove out, and the dove would fly, and the dove would return with the leaf of an olive tree in its mouth. That's a sign of assurance. That's a sign that the earth was now once again productive. The dove did not just find a leaf laying on the ground somewhere. He plucked it himself from a tree. Still, since the dove returned, Noah knew there was no place to get out just yet. And so he waited another week. I mean, you've been in there for a couple of years. What's another week, right? And he sends out the dove again, and this time, she didn't return. She found a dry place to rest her foot. Finally, the day came when God told Noah, it's time to leave. It's time to get out of this floating barn. It's time for a new beginning. And God made a covenant with Noah. God said to him, never again would he destroy the entire world with a flood. And he put his sign in the sky. The rainbow is God's sign. And it reminds us of God's goodness, not only to Noah, but to us. It reminds us that thousands of years ago, one small family was kept. But it also reminds us that in this day, the children of God are kept and can never be destroyed. God's covenant remains in the sky forever. It forever reminds us of His Word. And the Word of God is forever true. And that's good news. Let's pray.